Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. And off to the lawn and garden we go. Indeedy, it's 8:08, and we have Larry here with us, our expert, Larry Glass, as we prepare, as we always do, to let you know what's happening in the old lawn, the old garden. I think we've got some groovy giveaways today, too, Larry, don't
we? Yes, caller will get a, or maybe two, I don't know, it depends, we'll get a flat of pansies.
All righty, so. There you go.
Pansies are really cool plants.
There you go.
They take the cold real well. They bloom in the fall. They bloom in the winter and into the spring in about the middle of May, 1st of June, July. When you guys decide to make it hot, they kind of fizzle out. So it'll give you some good color. And we've been selling these, golly, just tons of them.
Zoom, right out the door.
Going out the door, you bet. Anyway, in the garden, hey, my twice-blooming iris are blooming.
Again.
Yeah, they bloom in the spring and the fall. We carried them for a while, and I managed to get one that didn't look too good. Brought it home, and it's then prospered, and this year it's blooming. So,
well, things do well in your yard, despite everything.
No, they don't.
Got that big old slab of limestone.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even go out in the backyard for weeks at a time. I just busy. But anyway, so it's getting ready to bloom, and we'll bring some pictures in for those of you with color radio.
Yes.
You can see the, well, they look like regular iris, but they're blue in color. They're kind of pretty too. Anyway, it's time to dig up and store those caladium and elephant ears. If you haven't done so, I'm sure they're kind of laying on the ground right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to save your elephant ear bulbs and you haven't done it yet, good time to get after it and do that. Put it in a cardboard box and set it in the garage close to the house somewhere where it won't freeze in the winter.
Sure.
I don't recommend putting it in the house per se because it's kind of warm. I've had them grow before.
Hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to be dormant here.
Yeah, so they need to go to rest for a while, and then you can plant them again after middle of April or so, sure, here in the ground again.
After they get a good nap.
Actually, the ground temperature has to be about 60 degrees before they really start to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe May or late part of April, 1st of May is when you want to plant them. We'll have plenty of them next spring, though.
I bet you will.
And make sure, you know, you get them early and just kind of store them for a while. And then when the ground temperature gets to be warm enough, then you can plant them in the ground and they'll start to grow. Mm-hmm. Or you could start them in pots early, in a warm area. And so they get rooted out and they start to grow. Then you can put them out in the ground, trick them, if you will. Anyway, so elephant ears. Banana trees also. Some people like these. They have banana. A lot of people have in this town have banana trees.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. A very tropical look to it, you know. And the cannas also. I would recommend digging up some of the cannas. Not all of them, but just some of them, just so you have a survivor base in through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
If we do have an extraordinarily cold zinger, if you will, they can knock them out and thin out your herd, if you will. So you might want to do. I didn't pull mine up last year. They did fine. It never really did get cold last year,
mm-hmm,
so except for once
one
or twice.
One day.
Yeah, but still, nonetheless, they all came back just fine. So, yeah, it's kind of a plus or minus. Cannas are actually related to bananas.
Okay.
Same genus, same mm-hmm family. So,
but, plantains have that similarity too, don't they?
Plantains.
Yes.
Yeah.
I lived in North Florida for a while. That seemed to be the popular one there.
Plantains.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of like little fat bananas. Instead of the ones you see, you take a look at them, you say, well, it kind of looks like a banana. My house, no?
It's a plantain.
It's a plantain.
You kind of slice them up and fry them, I guess.
Yeah,
they're kind of bland, aren't they?
Or? Yes, they are. They're terrible.
A little starchy there. Anyway, good time also to plant some trees and shrubs. We planted, let's see, 10 trees this week.
Wow.
And golly, we've been busy doing that. And be sure to add some compost to the soil and dig a hole, a bowl-shaped hole, and dig it bigger than the root ball Not like a wine cork. You
you don't need a snug fit. You need one that's going to give you some growth.
Yeah, give you some room to grow. Yeah, because holidays are coming up. You need room to grow. So anyway, so you want to give it a good sized hole for the tree, and then they'll adapt to the surrounding quote soil unquote.
So. There you go.
So. Continue to mow your fescue as needed, about 2 to 2.5 inches, and water if needed. Thank you very much for the rain last night. Y'all did good. And it gives me a chance to work on my sprinkler system at the nursery and get it repaired and up to par.
We bought you a little time is what you're saying?
Yeah, I can take off the Band-Aids and get it right again.
You were right.
That duct tape works real well. So you want to mow that fescue up pretty good. And if you haven't fertilized your fescue grass, you might consider doing so.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have an improved color if you do fertilize it somewhat.
A little richer green. Huh?
Yeah, also. I wouldn't go too much as far as fertilizing your trees and shrubs, except if you're planting them.
Yep.
Things like hollies, Yopon hollies, and you know, Japanese hollies and things, boxwoods, they can benefit from some, say, milorganite, which isn't overly strong in nitrogen, but it has a good iron content. It wouldn't hurt to give them a fall application.
Mm-hmm.
Still fall for a while.
A few more days.
Yeah.
About a month.
Anyway, it'd be the absolute last time you want to do that.
Yeah.
I did some pruning on my shrubs yesterday, cut back some of the yopons. I mean, this last Sunday. And then I climbed up in the tree and cut out some of the dead branches here and there.
We had some guy do that for us. I'm not good at climbing trees anymore.
Okay. I was way up in that. Oh, that one needs to come out and get going up and up.
He was having fun. By golly, it looked good.
Yeah.
He got a haircut.
So that's another thing you can probably do right about now is maybe look at your – and I was at somebody's house. They had some trees with some broken branches on them.
Yeah.
And right now that the canopy is open, you can see the structure behind there. See, I need to go get a pole saw.
That one's either going to come down now with my help or not so much now, and I'll never know when it could hit something.
I was at a house. There's a couple of branches just swaying in the breeze. And the ice, a little ice stormette we had here, broke a couple of branches in their house and others in the neighborhood.
Yeah, good.
And golly, you can be underneath that thing, a clunk. You know, there's a big branch, too, about 2 inches in diameter, just swaying in the breeze.
That could hurt you, could hurt your car, could hurt a lot of things.
Yeah, poor puppy dog, too.
You know? Oh, gosh.
Consider that. Yeah, you don't want the dog out there. Let him out the back door. I gotta go. They clunk. You know, you don't want that to happen. So make sure, and look up in your trees and make sure there's no dangling branches like that, because they're kind of a hazard.
They are.
Okay, let's see. Water your fescue if needed. Don't need to do that this week, thank goodness. Good time to control broadleaf weeds like dandelions. What's the weather going to be like this week? What are the highs going to be?
Let's see. We're looking for probably about 60-something tomorrow. Then on Monday, 68, 65, 70. We're even going to reach 74 degrees come Thursday.
Well, cool. I can get some work done.
So we can get anywhere between 63 and 74 here. In the next
enjoy it now, because statistically we are due for a zinger of a winter.
Yep.
Yeah, get the snow tires on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless put them on the back wheels, unless you have a front-wheel drive car.
I told Susie, I said, Larry is predicting snow. And she says, well, I'm not seeing it on the... I said, trust me, he knows these things.
Well,
he said once upon a time they had snow all the way up to the bottom of a stop sign here.
Yeah, really. I almost got that high. No, not really. 30 inches or so, I think, is what the max was. But snow drifts, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a patio that kind of captures leaves and things.
Yeah.
And snow, and it was up to the eave of the house.
Oh, boy.
When it was blowing around in there. Mm-hmm. It
just kind of piled up right there.
Accumulated up over 6 feet tall.
Thought you were in Chicago again, didn't you?
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be warm enough this week to control maybe some broadleaf winter weeds, such as dandelions. I was at a house and they had henbit up and it was blooming.
Blooming henbit.
It doesn't bloom until Easter, about spring.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in bloom now. So that's weird. So,
yeah.
So anyway, and this week's going to be the spring weeds are just going to
pop all over the place.
Pop up everywhere, so it'd be a good time you can see them and control them. So anyway, good time to for broadleaf weed control.
Some of our friends who have already sprayed the yard can go out and spray again if they missed the spot. Huh?
If you use a pre-emergent at the right time,
yeah.
you shouldn't have a problem, at least much of a problem.
Yeah.
But if you forgot to do that, then. And so, the dandelions, they're perennials.
Uh-huh.
So it could be coming up from the root, and the pre-emergent won't work on a dandelion that's from the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And during the heat of the summer, they kind of just kind of shrivel up and hide. I'll teach you. Put down all the prodiamine you want, but I'll be back.
I'll be back. You can't.
Yeah, so anyway, they're coming up and from the roots. Mm-hmm. I know that from personal experience. I had to dig up some this week.
Boy.
Yeah. But anyway, so you can, if you got a whole lot of them, you can control them with a broadleaf weed control or just do a spot spray.
Got it.
You don't have to spray the whole thing. I don't think it's going to be much of a problem if you've been controlling it all along. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads to a kind of a theory on how to spray for these weeds. And if you do just have a few, you can do a spot spray. You don't have to go and spray the whole yard or put a weed and feed on the whole yard. Just you can be very specific with and we have them at the nursery in a pre-mixed or ready to go, and then that'll take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a big infestation, then yeah, I'd go ahead and use a weed and feed right now, or a broadleaf weed control on a general basis.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just be specific with it and save yourself some money and some of the environment too. So. Anyway, so that's kind of what's going on with weeds. Keep the leaves off your fescue lawn to avoid damage to the foliage. A lot of weeds have fallen down this week. Mm-hmm. We've had some wind, and we got kind of cold there for a while. That causes the leaves to abscess, and then they just kind of fall all at once. We have some ginkgo trees at the nursery. And
oh, boy. All at once. I know how that goes.
All at once.
Boop.
I was walking by and turned around the other way. The leaves are gone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But it's that quick.
So we're going to have some wind today and tonight, zinging up there to 25 miles per hour. Could see gusts as high as 40 at times, so we'll have more leaves just flying all over the
place. Wahoo, I ninja'd my leaves last Sunday.
You did?
Yeah, the lawnmower. Turned them into powder.
There you go.
And it worked real well. So. Okay, so...
Saves the stress on your rake.
Right, now... Also, your young trees, specifically, say, your Japanese maples or something, and your other maple trees, a lot of these critters like to gnaw on them. Gophers, squirrels, rabbits, and things. Those maple trees are non-indigenous species like that. They have a lot of sugar in their trunk. And once they discover that, you know, forget it. They're all yum. They'll go after it. So you might want to get a tree wrap on your young trees, perhaps, just so you don't have the animals. Clawing on them and chewing them up and eating them and everything else.
Like the candy store.
Yeah, one time we planted this was a long time ago, it'd probably be $800 Japanese maple now, but it was about a $300 tree, $299.99 Japanese maple.
Wow.
And the gophers or something, they don't know what kind of animal it was, just ate the trunk all the way around it and killed it. And I literally killed it, just ate it.
That's a tough way to go.
That was a hard check to write, too.
It was. Jiminy. Frustrating.
I'll sell you another one and we'll throw in the labor. How about that?
Oh, boy.
they agreed. And then we put some tree wrap around it to stop that. So, anyway, that's a problem. If you're in an area and you did just plant, say, some maple trees or dogwoods or trees like that, then you might want to consider wrapping them. If you do have a lot of critters hanging around.
Good. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We're going to come back. And, of course, your calls are more than welcome here at the Green Country Gardener at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. We have a lot of tree trimmers. They'll come in on Friday evening. You can get a towable boom, pull it behind the half-ton pickup, go home, trim your trees, paint your house, clean your gutters. You can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, one-day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds. 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Reynolds.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue, grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny
skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:24 and our phone lines are open. You can talk to our expert Larry Glass here today at 1-800-749-5936. It is kind of that transition time here. And of course, we've been taking a look at things that are going on in the lawn and the garden.
Right. Now, also in your garden, a lot of people have euonymus plants. There's a Manhattan euonymus and euonymus Radicans coloratus, euonymus Cayu Chivica.
I want a euonymus for Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, euonymus plants, it's kind of susceptible to... Don't give me that. Scale insects.
Yep.
Scale insects can be difficult to spot right away.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of sit on the leaf and just exist and draw the juices out of your plants.
Mm-hmm.
And try to make new scales. They attract ants. Ants spread the scale insects around their eggs and all that stuff.
Oh, boy.
It's what we call a symbiosis.
Got it.
Ants and scales. So anyway, look at your euonymus plants fairly closely. They're give me this look now.
No, I'm trying to learn something here.
They're the evergreen ones right now. There's one right across the street there in front of that house.
Okay.
And they're shiny, glossy leaves typically. Mm-hmm. Some of them are variegated. Some of them are just green. And they have a tendency to get scale real bad, and it'll basically take over the plant. Then you get galls, all kinds of stuff. It's just kind of snowballs. Anyway, dormant oil is a good thing to apply. As long as it's above 40 degrees, it's a good time to maybe apply some dormant oil for euonymus scale. Now, the reason why you might want to do it now is it'll knock out overwintering eggs as well as the insects to dramatically reduce the population.
Mm-hmm.
And to apply a dormant oil, I would recommend a hose-in sprayer. It mixes up a vast amount,
mm-hmm.
and it enables you to better soak the plants. And dormant oil is fairly harmless, really.
Yeah.
Neem oil works well, too.
Yeah.
Both of them are quite harmless, and there's no danger to them. And they're not environmentally detrimental or anything like that, so you can put that down. If you really want your euonymus plants to thrive, look at them closely. And look for scale insects and bring a cutting by. Somebody at the nursery could identify it and say, yeah, here's what you need. And it's time to do that while the temperature this week is going to be at 40 degrees. Even this weekend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What's it supposed to be like today?
Today we're going to be up to 74.
There you go. Perfect day for that. So,
but a little windy, so watch how you're...
Yeah, you don't want dormant oil all over your new car. So, but it won't hurt it either. So.
No, it won't.
But anyway,
you just have to go wash your car.
It works. Dormant oil works physiologically on the insects, and that it cuts off their air supply.
Yeah,
and then they basically suffocate. So, time to look at that. Also, some of the other trees, some other plants get scale. I'm surprised at how many plants get it now. It's crazy. We got a caller?
I do believe so. Let's go to the phones. Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or comment?
Hi. I have a bed of perennial phlox.
Mm-hmm.
They are beautiful purple blooms when they every summer.
Right.
And they bloom for a long, long time, mm-hmm. several months.
Okay.
And they grow about 3 foot high.
Uh-huh.
But I've been having, the last 3 years, I guess, gray, smoky-looking stuff on the leaves.
Mm-hmm. Powdery mildew.
Does it over stay in the ground and come up every year, or?
Yeah. What you want to do on your creeping, on your flocks, rather, is after we've had a good hard freeze, which we've had, you want to cut them down pretty low and then clean up all the leaves that you can around them.
Okay. I've already cut them down to about 3 inches or four.
Mm-hmm. And any fallen leaves you might want to try to get rid of also.
Okay.
And you might want to consider during the course of the winter thinning them out a bit so they're not so clumpy.
All right. I probably do need to do that because this bed's been here for probably 8 years or so.
Yeah, and the...
And at first, when I had them, for the first 3 or 4 years, they were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they didn't do so well.
Right, right around...
Even in the blooming part.
Yeah, right around February, you might want to thin them out. In other words, dig them up and put them in clumps and maybe move some clumps in other parts of the yard and replant
them. Okay, if I see the leaves be turning gray
mm-hmm.
next spring, what is there something I could do for them then?
Yeah, about any fungicidal work. We have a...
Fungicidal.
We have a sulfur will work on it. We have a product called Infuse that basically is a get it out, Larry. Systemic. There you go. Fungicide, which will control them from within. So,
okay. All right. Thank you a lot.
And your first name is? We're giving away a flat of pansies today.
Oh, I didn't know that. Geraldine.
Geraldine. Very good. Geraldine, thank you for calling.
Thank you. And, of course, that opens up a line for our next person to call in at 1-800-749-5936. Okay, Larry.
Good morning.
Nope.
Oh, there's nobody there. I thought there was somebody on the air.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. Anyway, what were we talking about? I lost track. We were talking about weeds in the lawn.
Yeah.
And
then we got down to having scales on your...
Oh, scales. That's right. Okay, scales on your lawn was plant. Yeah. I haven't seen any scale on burning bush, though. Burning bush is a variety of euonymus.
Those haven't been looking too bad.
No, I haven't seen too much of a problem with scale. Now, sometimes the euonymus plants will have little organelles on their trunk, and it looks kind of like scale. So mm-hmm. you have to look at it pretty close.
Got it.
So the euonymus elatus typically doesn't get it, and euonymus radicans coloratus typically doesn't get scale either. But the euonymus cariochivica, which is the Manhattan euonymus, and the other varieties of the variegated euonymus, various and sundry varieties, have a tendency to get that. So euonymus is kind of a big plant in the landscape. It does a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a shrub. You get some colored leaves on it, and they're attractive,
mm-hmm.
and they're very glossy and healthy looking plants. Easy to grow, but they do have this little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Now on a Manhattan euonymus, they get galls real bad. And it's kind of a warty-looking growth on it. And once they start getting galls, it's time to just get rid of it and get another one, really. Cause they,
it's over. Time's
up. Yeah, it's a virus, so you got to get rid of them. So. But anyway, so that's what to look for on the euonymus plants or scales. Mm-hmm. Lawns, your fescue grass, if you've planted fescue grass, it should be approaching broad blade at this point.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it comes up and looks like real downy, fine grass. And then it switches over to broad blade grass. Mm-hmm. So it should be at that point at this time. Because it is the middle of November.
Yeah.
It should be fairly well established at this point. Mm-hmm. A bit too late almost to plant some seed. If the weather stays consistent for this week and the next week, it'll sprout by the end of this week, maybe the middle of next week.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time for it to snow the end of next week.
Oh, well.
So you're a little late, in other words, to try to get fescue established from seed in the yard. However, sod can be put on any time. Except I don't like to do fescue sod in late June, July, and August, and early September. Just too hot. It won't establish them. So you're kind of late on that. You just kind of take care of the grass you have right now and keep it fertilized.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more in just a moment, including your telephone calls at 1-800-749-5936. This is the Green Country Gardener back after this two-minute timeout.
Save big this month at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, you can save on a True Value 20-pound bag of wild bird food. This food is a multi-blend formula with vitamins and minerals that is nutritious and good for the birds. Save $6 on Rayovac battery packs. Your choice of 48-count double or AAA alkaline batteries at $10.99 for each battery pack you buy, and for $7.99 pick up a Natulair microparticle pleated furnace filter, saving you $3, but only at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Offer ends November 29th, 2020.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Do the founding documents of our country really encourage prayer? Our founding documents are the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Do they really inspire citizens to pray? That's the topic I'll explore in our next interactive prayer time this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. here on KWON AM 1400 and FM 93.3, or on Facebook Live or kwontv.com. And remember, if you'd like, you can download the transcript and prayer outline by clicking the Pray for Our City button at bartlesilradio.com. And let's pray together for the welfare of our cities.
Roman Chevrolet Buick and Independence, your Silverado City, will make your dreams come true in November with 0% for 84 months and no payments until February 2021 on select Buick and Chevy models. Select the new 2020 Buick Encore GX, sell price at just $18,546. And the new four-door 2020 Buick Envision Essence with front-wheel drive can be yours for $25,955. Save more than $12,000. Romans delivers nationwide, so buy online or stop by their showroom. Roman Chevy Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Nobody beats our prices.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:35, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program. And our phone lines are open. You can talk to Larry Glass, our expert here today, at 1-800-749-5936. And when you call in, you stand a chance of winning a flat of pansies.
Okay. Time to plant new trees?
Yep.
You want to dig a hole bigger than you'd really like to?
Yes, sir.
And if you really don't want to do that, you can have us do it for you.
You're good at digging. Can you dig it? Yes, I can.
Yes, I can. Well, I did a lot of digging this week. Man, we did a French drain this week.
A what?
A French drain.
Oh, okay.
At somebody's house, yes.
Okay.
They were having getting water in the house.
Oh.
So we put a rather large excavation in front of the house,
mm-hmm.
and put our drain pipe below the floor elevation. Just always, always, always put it below the floor elevation. If your French drain person goes above the French drain, above the floor, it won't work.
Nope.
Gravity, water runs downhill. Then you have to gravity it out. So a little bit of engineering involved with that, too. So anyway, that's kind of what we did this week. And we still planted a lot of trees and mm-hmm. did some concrete borders and other stuff. We've been busy landscaping this week. So, and planting trees, too. Golly. You got a caller?
I think we do. Let's go to the phones. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You are on with Larry here with our Green Country Gardener program. Question or comment?
I have a question.
Yes.
I love sugar maple trees, and I think it's the time of year to plant them.
Yes.
Do I need to amend the soil with anything different here in Kansas to make them grow?
The primary primary need for a sugar maple is good drainage. If your soil, if you can dig a hole in the ground fairly easily, then you really don't need to amend the soil per se. But sugar maples will not tolerate heavy soil or soil that doesn't drain well.
Oh, drainage is a problem then.
Yeah, drainage is very important. If you don't have good drainage, you might consider a red maple. They can tolerate the compacted, poorly drained soil better than a sugar maple.
How often, like once a week or what, for watering?
that's a loaded question. Usually I tell people water them when they get dry.
Okay.
And you really can't, and I can't advise anybody on a schedule, you'll develop a schedule on your own. And you want to look at the root ball of the tree. And also, look if the tree has leaves on it, look at the leaves on it, too. And observe the water content in the root ball. And when that happens, it's time to water. And after a while, you'll develop a schedule. But typically, and this has been a statistic that I've developed over 40 years of planting trees, is for the first week, you water it every day, and the second week, every other day, and the third week, every third day. And the fourth week, just whenever it needs. So the root system will grow out and explore the area. You really want it to be just a little bit hungry, just so the roots will go out and spread into the surrounding soil.
Oh, that is good advice. That's a good schedule for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And your first name is?
Mary Sue.
Okay. Well, you got you. All right.
Thank you.
Keep listening. We're going to give away a flat of pansies here at the end of the show.
Oh, good.
All right.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your call.
Oh, very much. There we go. 55 degrees. It is 839. And you can call in, too, right now at 1-800-749-5936. We do have to take a little bit of a break. We're going to have more coming up with the Green Country Gardener right here. And we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Food is the subject on the dining guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The dining guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Bartlesville Radio's Green Country Christmas is underway.
Shop the store with a green tree on the door. Receive a green numbered ticket just for asking. And get another ticket for every $10 you spend.
We'll start announcing numbers for daily prizes on Monday.
The grand prize drawing will be Tuesday, December 22nd.
You could win $5,000 cash from us. Two round-trip Southwest airline tickets anywhere in the continental U.S. from Spears Travel.
Set of tires, detail and alignment from Dungis Family of Autos.
Four $100 gift baskets and one $100 gift certificate from Moxie on 2nd. Your choice of a Pro 780 Traeger grill or a large Big Green Egg grill from Swimming Hole.
Tickets available at
Dink's Pit Barbecue, Dunch's Family of Autos, Doug Huff Homes, Egbert's, El Maguey Mexican Grill and Cantina, Farmers Insurance, Scott Gillette Agency.
Shop any of these local businesses and start collecting those tickets.
Be in the green this year. Green Country Christmas from K1, KYFM, KREG, KPGM Radio.
When you want to know.
We're to the point now where we know.
When you need to know.
Please know.
We all know. When you have to know.
The American people know.
People want to know how this happened.
You can be in the know on K1, the one you trust.
You probably know what's going on.
At the top and bottom of the hour. And when it happened.
They know.
You'll be glad to know.
You know what happened.
I need to know.
Be in the know.
We need to know this stuff.
Now.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
But you never know.
On K1, 1400 and 93.3. Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. And, of course, our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, where are we here?
Would you like something blue?
Blue.
In the landscape?
Of course.
That's the deodar cedar. It's a good one.
There you go.
Deodar is native to the Himalayas.
To the Himalayas.
Where it grows at elevations of 3,500 feet up to 12,000 feet high. I get hypoxia here, maybe. But
boy!
Anyway, so it grows it can grow in a rather challenging environment. Deodar is a fairly fast-growing tree for the first 10 years or so, growing as high as 30 feet in its first 10 years. and is a long-lived and trouble-free tree in most areas. Kind of like people. Grow pretty fast the first decade or two.
Then, stop, then after right? that, you know, kind of.
You don't grow up, you kind of grow out. But anyway, deodar needs a neutral to alkaline. It'll tolerate alkaline soil.
Very good.
We have a caller, do we?
We sure do.
Okay, put them on.
Let's go to the telephones here. And welcome, you're on the Green Country Gardener Program. Your call, your question for Larry.
Good morning. I have a Norway spruce that I planted just about a month ago, and I was wondering if Larry had any tips on how to care for that.
Okay, a Norway spruce. That's the one with the green leaves, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. They do very well here. Probably the best thing you can do is just kind of limit the amount of water it gets. Don't try to overdo it.
And okay.
Make sure it's in a well-drained area. And it's a very hardy plant as far as cold is concerned. So
okay.
I wouldn't worry too much about freezing it out or anything. It'll tolerate it just fine. So really, there's just kind of a tree you don't do a whole lot to, really.
Low maintenance.
After it gets established.
Yeah, low maintenance.
I wouldn't over-fertilize it at all. Maybe just a little bit in the spring and fall.
Okay.
But it's indigenous.
We just planted it, so maybe it'll get established over the winter and be ready to go in the spring, hopefully.
Okay, well, you're kind of cutting out. I didn't quite catch all that. You might want to repeat that.
Oh, I just said I planted it in the fall, so maybe it will be ready to grow when the spring comes.
Oh, it should start growing in the spring. They have a growth spurt in the spring. That's the only time they grow is when it begins to warm up a little bit in the spring.
All right.
Your name, please?
And I have a my name is Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl. Okay.
And I have one more question, a different plant.
Uh-huh.
I have African violets, and they bloom well, and they look healthy, but when the blooms are on the plant for just maybe a few days, I start seeing mildew or mold or something white on the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to kill it, but I don't know what it is. Can you give me any recommendations on how to get rid of it?
There are a couple things it could be. It could be too much consistent moisture. If they're in a saucer, you might consider elevating the plant over that saucer so the top of the soil, the crown of the plant, stays relatively dry.
Okay.
It could also be thrips. Thrips are real tiny little insects, about one-tenth the size of a grain of rice. They're very hard to see. So you get your magnifying glass and examine them and see if you've got thrips.
Okay.
And lack of light. And lack of light, too, could be one of those three things with the violets. Either poor drainage, thrips, or lack of light primarily.
And can I get rid of it by moving them or spraying something on it?
Yeah, you might. We might look at see if you have any of those three symptoms, and then if it needs more light, you move a little closer to the window. It could also be if it's done that recently, it might be maybe the change in the weather or something. Maybe they're too cool. They only tolerate a temperature say below 60 or so. Then you have troubles.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
All right. You, Cheryl.
Thank you for calling.
And we got another call. And good morning. Thank you for holding on. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Thank you. We planted two emerald green. I'm going to say it's Arborvitae.
Arborvitae, yes.
Or Arborvitae, okay. Uh-huh. One of them lived, one of them didn't. Mm-hmm. And is it too late in the season to plant another one, or do I need to wait till spring to buy one and plant it?
Well, you can plant an arborvitae as long as the soil isn't too hard to dig.
Okay.
No, there's no seasonality. They're hardy enough to do that.
Okay. What is something good to put on those to keep them from... I don't know why. I've had this happen for the last 2 years, that one survived and one hasn't, and I don't know why.
Huh. It's difficult to say. There's so many factors that could affect that. Too much water... Probably the main reason people have problems with an arborvitae is either they water it too much or not enough when you first start out.
Okay. That could be my problem.
Thank you very much. All right.
Well,
first name?
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay. Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
All righty. Very good. And, of course, one of our callers is going to get a flat of pansies.
Yeah, we'll have to throw these names down the hallway and see who goes the furthest.
Well, at least it'll be fair.
That's how some of my college professors graded papers.
Aye, boy, there you go.
So, always use a number two pencil.
There you go.
Anyway, that leads us into Shrub of the Week.
Yep.
Which is the firepower dwarf Nandina. People say, oh no, another Nandina.
The funky dwarf Nandina.
The firepower dwarf Nandina is one of the best coloring of all Nandinas.
Got it.
It has brilliant, brilliant crimson fall color all the way through winter. It stays red all through the winter. It grows in neat mounds and great for borders, massing, and containers. They don't require any pruning, except every 3 years you want one to whack them back pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was developed in New Zealand.
New Zealand?
It's either developed or discovered there, one of the two. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and it is evergreen, except for the first year. Anyway, after that, they're okay. They do prefer full sun. They will grow in part sun to almost heavy shade. They'll take a pretty good amount of shade, but they just don't color up as well. They grow specified to grow 12 inches wide and tall.
Got it.
I say specified. If you get above that, they start to get ugly. Yeah. Anyway, it's smaller than typical Nandinas. It doesn't spread like other Nandinas. They stay in place real nicely.
Mm-hmm.
They have no insect problems, no disease problems. They tolerate dry conditions, and they can tolerate a long wet period, too. Important thing is to really prepare the soil real well.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about the dwarf Nandinas, you plant them in a row, say a row of five. One of them's going to be smaller than the rest.
Never fails.
Never fails.
So that would be the dwarf, right?
Yes. The best way to manage these particular plants is to fertilize them in spring and fall, as they come up in the spring and in the fall. Give them a good. I like to use the Milorganite. Mm-hmm. It's a very safe fertilizer to use. In mine at home, they just grow out.
Room.
Yeah, and they're all, and there's a group of them in front of a boxwood, and one of them is bigger than the rest.
Uh-huh.
And every 3 years, cut them back to where they're about that tall.
Okay. Tall as a can of pop.
Yeah, tall as a can of pop. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or a span.
Okay. Your pinky to your thumb.
Uh-huh, yeah. And that effectively makes them bush out and be a nice-looking plant again. And you do that in the spring. You don't want to do it right now.
No.
You want to do it after you've enjoyed all the red color all winter long. And then you cut them back and they leaf out and they're really nice little bushes again.
Mm.
And that same year after you cut them back, they'll go ahead and develop a really nice shape. So dwarf Nandina is a plant. I like to use it for color accents in the landscape. They're used in almost all of my landscapes just for a bit of winter interest.
Mm-hmm.
Even in July, I say, you need some winter interest here. So, when it comes around, they say, well, golly, sure, I like those red plants. You know, I like to associate them with boxwoods and dwarf yaupon hollies and other kinds of holly plants because the color contrast is rather dramatic between the red and the green in the wintertime. So they're really nice. And they do very well with the variegated liriope, too. You got a caller?
We sure do, right before our last break. Let's go to our... Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your comment or question?
Okay, I have an oak tree that come up in my flower bed, and so I want to try... I put it in a big flower pot, and I got its taproot.
Yeah.
And then I have a dogwood tree I want to set out.
Uh-huh.
What specifications do I need?
The dogwood tree, it needs partial sun. It does better if it's shielded from the full day sun, but there are some in town that are doing very well in full sun. But typically, they need a little bit of shielding.
Where I was going to put it, where I could see it out my window, it's going to be in the sun all day.
Yeah, you might. They will do that. They will grow if they're planted at the right time of the year, and if they're in an area that's well drained. And you dig a really, really big hole so its root system can develop, then it should do okay. And be very careful with it.
Is now a good time?
What, to plant them?
Yes.
Oh, yes, very good time.
Okay. And then the oak tree?
Yeah, you can plant it anytime, really. If you've got it in a container, you can plant those anytime.
Okay. All right.
But
Thank you.
On the dogwood, it's very important to let it get... fairly dry between waterings.
Mm.
Okay.
Let it get dry before I water it again?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. They do not tolerate wet soil. They do not tolerate heavy clay soil whatsoever.
Okay. I've had it in a flower pot for a couple of years because it's one of those I got from Arbor Day, you know.
Oh, okay.
I send them money and they send you all these little saplings.
Mm-hmm. Well, put it somewhere in the yard where the water doesn't sit too much after it rains, and it should do okay.
Oh. And it wants partial shade.
Yeah, some shielding to a degree, and they'll do a little better. Okay, and your first name is?
Judy.
Okay, Judy. All right, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you, Judy, and we've got more of the program coming up in just a moment. A little bit of an alert to the stations along the network lines. We'll be back after this three-minute timeout.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
Listen to K1 anywhere
and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:57. Larry Glass is with us here.
Hello. We were looking at my cell phone during the break here, and I have enough dirt in it to grow radishes. Surprised the thing still works.
Well, you know, the tech talk guy, Miller, he's just downstairs. He can help you with
get
that.
Get a good laugh out of this one.
He might. I tell you what, that thing can take a licking just like the old Timex watches. Boy, yeah. I just dated myself. Right now, you can get a hold of us if you want at 1-800-749-5936. What you got on the agenda there?
Okay, cool. We were talking about the firepower dwarf Indian. I like to use it also around swimming pools and things. Mm-hmm. That with maybe some procumbens juniper, give you some green and some red. And both of those do a pretty good job of capturing stuff before it gets into the pool. But anyway, that's a fire-powered dwarf mandina. It's a workhouse in the landscape. It's good all season long, and if you want to neglect it and ignore it, that's fine. So I guess that's getting pretty close to quitting time here.
Yeah.
We need to pick out a winner. So who ran down? Mary Kay.
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay. She went the furthest down the hallway, so she gets a flat of pansies.
A blinding speed.
Okay.
We'll have it right there at the front desk here at the radio.
Anyway, at the nursery, we have a greenhouse full of houseplants right now. Yep. Everything from Aligonemas to African. We sold all the African violets. We'll be getting our Christmas cactus pretty soon.
Yep.
And we'll be getting our poinsettias pretty soon. So, golly, the time of year is changing out for all that stuff. We do have some good pansies, a big old crop of good, nice-looking pansies at the nursery, one of which somebody will win here. And, so we're pretty well loaded right now. So, anyway, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right, we got a minute to go here. So I'm going to grab one last call here. Hi, good morning. Okay. You're on the air.
I thought I'd read the thing wrong.
I wanted to try to just grow an oak tree by planting an acorn or maybe a native pecan, planting one of those.
Yes.
Like, how deep do the squirrels plant them? Or how deep would you just put one of those acorns or nuts in the ground?
Twice as deep as the seed is around.
I'm sorry? Say again, please.
Twice as deep as the acorn or the pecan is around.
Twice as deep.
Okay. Yeah, 2 inches deep for a pecan and maybe an inch and a half or so for the acorns.
All right, great. Excellent. Thank you.
Very good.
All righty. Very good. Okay, now it's time to let them know what we need to do with our shovels.
Oh, golly. the light in here messed up that thing. Anyway, keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right, we've got news coming up next from CBS, plus our local news, and stay tuned.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News.